If you have your Bible tonight, you can turn to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 8 and verse 19. Verse 11, excuse me. 8:11. And also chapter 9 and verse 16. Esther chapter 8 and verse 11. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which are in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. That's Esther 8:11. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Many times people misunderstand the will of God. They misunderstand God's will. It's God's will that only righteousness abide, that only righteousness be followed, that only righteousness be sought after. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Chapter 9 and verse 16, Esther 9:16. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. In verse 11, there was given the decree to stand for their life and defend themselves. Also decreed to destroy and to slay and to cause to perish all the power of the people, all the power of the people and province that would assault them, all of it, little ones and women, and to take a spoil of them for prey. That was decreed. We hear part of what God wants us to do. We hear parts. And do we obey what we hear? Do we hear more than we obey? The Lord is faithful to challenge us to hear the decree, to hear his word, to understand that his word is above every word. His word is signed, sealed, and settled in heaven. His word will not be altered and it will not be changed. He's made a decree for them to stand for their life. And if you're going to have victory, you're going to have to let the Lord prepare you by his will, not our will. It must be his word, his will, his way. Amen? A decree for preparation. We should hear that. A decree for preparation. Prepare to stand for your life. A decree, something that we cannot miss. And if we miss that part, you sure will miss the part of having a reward. I've heard preachers say, I'm not interested in a reward. They think they're being humble. They're only revealing their ignorance. Because if you understand the reward, it's that opportunity that God has made a preparation for us so that we can glorify the Son of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we're nothing better than a servant and we have no rewards to show anything greater, you'll never be able to praise and worship God to what he has planned and he has purposed. See, God has the mind to glorify himself, glorify the Son of God, King above all kings, Lord above all lords, his name above every name. And if you want that position to be able to exalt him and praise him and worship him and glorify his name, glory and honor and praise and power and salvation unto him forever and ever and ever, we need to allow the Lord to prepare us. Amen? And if it's the little things that are getting by you, if it's the small things, little by little things are getting by you. Little by little things are getting by. It'll take your reward away. It'll take your reward away. And our reward should be an understanding of knowing that we're going to be able to exalt him throughout eternity. And if you can't obey him, you'll not have that position. So that's why it's important. We must stand for our life against everything that assaults us, everything that says you can't make it, everything that says you're nothing, you're a nobody, or you're just whatever. You need to stand against those things, everything. Let the Lord make you victorious. I want to be in that position that he prepares for us, that he's prepared for us, that he's provided for us to exalt him forever. Amen? There's that place. To Israel, they was just learning that they had a purpose in life, and the enemy's going to take them out and going to destroy them. And God said, no, you're not. I'm going to give my people that will stand together power against the enemy. And God gave them a decree. Now, we don't see the name of God used here in this book, but we see in many places his name is revealed, his power is revealed. I like this verse in Esther 7:11 or 8:11. It says, wherein the king. Now, many places, King Ahasuerus' name is used. But I like verses like this where it says, the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. Amen. 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 The king, he's the king. And revealed in the Word of God, though the name God, the Lord, is not written out like that, you'll see where his presence is there. And he is the King granted. We follow the Word of God, the will of God, by the Holy Ghost to reveal his Son to us and reveal his Son in us so that we can stand for our lives in these last days. Preparation, preparation. Preparation. Prepare, prepare, prepare. You need to prepare. Amen. There's great things that God will bring you to, but we need to prepare. And Israel was able to rejoice and have a great day. A great day on the 14th, also the 15th. They had a great day to worship God, some more than others. And I want to be a part that understand that next day. That understand the full provision, the full promise, the full preparation. So that we'll not let one thing slide. Amen? Three times, Israel, it was said that they did not take a prey. They did not plunder. They did not take a prey. Now, I don't believe in stealing from people. But if you understand what's rightfully yours, it's not noble. Now, most men say, oh, they're Israel so noble, they destroyed the enemy, they didn't touch their goods. If God made a provision, you need to take that. You need to take the provision that God has made for you. And he sent his Son on the cross to die for you and make a provision for your soul with so great salvation with much provision. And if you're not careful, you allow the devil to hoodwink you and make you feel proud and special and noble that you didn't touch the spoil. You didn't touch it. When God brought Israel into Jericho, he said, don't touch it. This is mine. Leave it alone. But in other places, the Lord said, take it. Take all of it for an honor and glory to his name. When Israel left Egypt, he blessed them. He blessed them. God wants to bless you. He wants to enrich you. And if things have you, you'll be blind. And the cares of this world will get your attention, take you out of the will of God. But when God blesses you, and I'm not talking about just physical, material things. We need the blessing of God that makes us rich and adds no sorrow with it. Riches of this life may make you rich as far as in the things of this worth and this value and this terrain. But it adds so much sorrow to it. There's so much trouble that goes with riches. You got to outdo the next one. You got to have more. You got to have this. Got to have that. And it's constantly. Donald Trump has a $100 million jet. For what? For what? And you see, where are they going? What are they doing? We need to be blessed of God. God wants to bless you. And more than just material things, we need the understanding of the overcoming life. We need to know the truth and take what God has for us. This is the last of the last days. The Lord says, make preparation, prepare for all that he's promised. Let it be working in your life. And in eternity, you'll be able to praise and worship God as you do today. As you do now, you'll be able to do then forever and ever and ever. But there's no praise to God unprepared. There's no praise to God without the victory that he's provided. So we do need to prepare. Tonight, the Lord helping us deal with this message of preparation. Let your thinking be about preparing to meet with God and to be able to praise and worship him. Let your thinking begin to go in that direction. Because if you follow the story, you can get sidetracked by what they did. We don't want to be just looking at what they did and end up like them. Israel will be no better than the church. Some in Israel will rise to perfection just like the church will, but without the rewards of the bride. Israel is God's people. Just like God will cause his church to stand. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. But it's going to take an hour of tribulation to bring them to their knees, to cause that to be. And he'll give them the decree, stand for your life, destroy everyone that's stood against you to assault you, and they'll rise up victorious. But now tonight, though it be a stormy day, and though it be fewer people involved, it may seem like it's not so important, but it is so important. Because there's coming a time when you recognize the importance of being prepared and having the blessings of God in fullness that he's promised. And we don't want to miss a thing. Amen. Tammy, would you pray? Ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Amen. I like what the Lord promises. Stand for their lives. Stand for their lives. God will put something in our heart and our spirit that will prepare us to fight and to fight the fight of faith and lay hold to eternal life so that nothing in this world can even begin to compare with it. You need to work. The Bible says they that don't work, don't eat. Work is a principle in the Bible that is very important. But collecting your paycheck on Friday is not important, as is important as finding that place before God when he blesses your soul with his presence because you have been faithful on the battlefield. Now, if you haven't been faithful on the battlefield, the first tendency, if you have any sense at all of spiritual things, I need to repent. I need to ask God to forgive me. I need the Lord to help me to be faithful on the battlefield. Now, you'll find that you'll learn how to pray before you learn how to preach. And you don't have to learn great swelling words to pray. Just be honest and open and real. Just tell Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and then tell him your heart. Tell him your mind. Tell him so that he can release those things in your spirit that hinders you from his will being done. Keep it simple. Men are so proud. Men are so selfish today. They don't know how to even pray simple. But God, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Amen. And as we pray, God will put his word in our heart. There was a decree that went from the king because of wicked Haman that the Jews are to be slaughtered. The Jews are to be destroyed. There was a mindset against Mordecai, and because of that motive within Haman to destroy Mordecai, he said, I'm going to get at him by destroying the people. I'll destroy him by destroying everybody around him. And if the truth was known, Haman would fear Mordecai. But did he fear the people around Mordecai? And there's a decree, I can slaughter those around Mordecai. I might not be able to get at Mordecai, but I'll get at him by destroying his people. I'll bring his people to slaughter. I'll bring them down. And one by one, the devil has a plan to watch people in the suburbs and in the outskirts and the outreaches and things that are away from the immediate and trying to take them out one by one. And I thank God for the truth. God put something in their heart. In chapter 9 and verse 3, they greatly feared Mordecai. The fear of Mordecai was upon them. They feared Mordecai. The fear of Mordecai fell upon them. All the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. The fear of Mordecai fell upon them. There was a reverence and a respect in this measure. Some people, they don't have that reverence and respect to honor God and honor the people of God. And they fight and they kick against people. They're afraid of them. They don't know how to operate in humility and humble themselves. Haman kicked on. Haman worked on. Haman with a hard heart. And a heavy spirit against the people of God. In chapter 8 and verse 17, it says, in every province and every city, whatsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. It was not always that way. It was not always that way. There was a time, Mordecai pretty much stood alone. Esther didn't even stand with him at all times. There was times when Mordecai had to get after her. Could it be that you've come to the kingdom such a time as this? And don't you know that if you don't stand at this time, it could be that you yourself destroyed, not just all your people, but you yourself destroyed? Stand for your life. Go to the king. Stand up. Make a petition. Make a request. Do something. For such a time as this, Esther, do something. And it got into her heart and it got into her spirit. I might not be able to do much. And what I do may not accomplish a whole lot. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do something. I'm going to go make an impact or an attempt. I'm going to say something. And as she prepared herself, she went before the king and she made a request known. And she went again. God, help us to put that in our heart and our spirit, the repetition, to go again, to go again. It's a need. It's necessary. Go again. She went again. When she went again, things happen. Things change. The Lord was faithful in dealing in this situation. The first decree, because of the heart of wicked Haman, was against the Jews to destroy them, every one of them, in all the provinces. It went out. A decree was made. Destroy them all. And when Esther went in and made her request known, told about what wicked Haman had done, the king could not reverse that. He could not change that. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a decree that you can stand for your life, and in a decree to defend yourself. And so we see that today. A lot of times people say, why doesn't God just destroy the devil? Why doesn't the Lord just remove the devil out of the way? There's more to it than we understand. But no matter how bad the devil is, no matter how wicked people are, no matter how evil they are, God has given to us a decree of defense. I will be your defense. The Lord God of Almighty is my defense. You read the psalmist when he cries out, he is my defense. And Job cried out those same words, understanding that God will defend you. Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14 realized that the enemy that they were facing had lost their defense. They said right out, they are defenseless. They have no defense. We have God sending us forth in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. We have the courage to go forth. And the people was afraid of what Joshua and Caleb was saying. And they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb because they didn't believe that these enemies, that the 10 spies that brought back an evil report, they didn't believe that these men were defenseless and pushovers. They thought that they're going to take them out. 10 spies with an evil report. You read on there in Esther. You read how that Esther was able to bring the king to make a decree to allow them to defend themselves and stand for their life. They went out to stand for their life. Enemies began to fall. Enemies, different ones that assaulted the Jews, that was going to destroy the Jews, brought down. And as they were being brought down, God put it in their heart and their spirit to stand strong, not waver, stand strong. They stood, and they watched strength and courage come. They watched life, they watched victory. We need that in our heart and our spirit to help us to know what we're doing. In the natural, you may have a natural wisdom because you can read books and you can read lives and you can pay attention to what's going on and you can learn from others' mistakes and you can learn from others' preparation of going on before you and setting and marking the way. You can learn from the old landmarks that are set and that are strongly set. You can learn, but if you're going to make it, it's going to be because the Holy Ghost is allowed to speak to you and allowed to lead you. If to be a son of God is one of the keys, is to be to a son of God is to be led by the Spirit. We need the leading of the Holy Ghost. Many times I look at things in the natural and I say, I can't go by that thinking. I can't go by that feeling. That feeling will lead me down. That thought will lead me astray. I need the Holy Ghost to speak to me. I need the wisdom from God to take me the way that is going to please Him. I can't go the way of least restraint. I can't go the way of pressure. Pressure of life will push you in a funnel and squeeze you and destroy you. But the Word of God comes by and it seems like God's Word is going to place you in the funnel, or He's going to place you in a furnace, or He's going to place you right in the middle of hardship and trouble and destruction. But there is a decree that goes with the will of God that says, no matter how much the enemy plans to assault you, you have the power and the strength to stand for your life and destroy them and slay them, the little ones and the women, and not only to take a complete victory over them, but to take the spoil after. Take it. Take the spoil. Take it to His honor and to His glory. Look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done in our heart and our life.
Every bit of the talents, every bit of the ability that God gives should be praise and honor to His name. It should not be, look how good I pray, or look how good I sing, or look how good I do something. It should be praise to God. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost, whether we're playing the drums, whether they're playing the piano or the organ or blowing a horn, let the Holy Ghost be in our lungs. Let the Holy Ghost be in our tongues, be in our fingertips, be in our toes. Let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost deal with our heart and our spirit in every measure, that His name would be honored and glorified in these last days. There is an assault of the enemy against people today to bring them down into such a perverted state, a wrong choice from far from what God has called us. We don't want to miss a thing what God is calling. Our lives must be anointed of God. I thank God for His promise that'll take us beyond what we could think, that'll take us beyond what we can imagine, above our thinking, beyond our ability. Because if we went by our thoughts and our ability, we would have to quit. We would have to sit down and say, well, I don't have an answer for you. But tonight I don't have to sit down. I can stand up. I don't have to stand up shaking. I don't have to stand up afraid and wondering what to do next. But we have the decree, stand for your life. Stand and fight. What are we going to fight? We're not just going to fight and beat against the air and to show style and show action. We're going to fight against the enemy. We're going to fight against every assault. We're going to fight against every accusation, not in our own strength and ability, not with a bitter, angry spirit. There's a lot of people, as soon as they're lied about, as soon as they're falsely accused, they are reacting at that thing with a bitter spirit. With an angry spirit. And I'm not preaching at you tonight. I'm preaching to your spirit that you have the strength and the power and the decree to stand for your life. Don't let that bitterness inside of you. Stand up tonight and begin to worship God and praise God with everything within you. And you let the Holy Ghost anoint you. That anointing of God will begin to work in your spirit and it'll change you. We're not here for style. We're not here for just going through the motions. We're not just going to this city to make a small attempt. We're here to destroy. We're here to slay every little one tonight in a stormy night. A little girl about just hardly a foot and a half tall, walking, I believe, with her mommy and her daddy down the stormy, winded street. And the Lord says, both the little ones and the women. Both the little ones and what are we going to destroy? We're going to destroy sin. We're going to destroy the assaults of sin. We're going to gather ourselves together. We're going to work together. There's preparation being made for some to get away from their bitterness, get away from their anger, get away from their jealousies, their malice, their pride. We saw in big letters in black background in a storefront tonight, envy. Envy. It took a man crawling on his backside, pushing himself inch by inch, trying to get to milestone, trying to get to milestone. And on the milestone, it says the foundation, milestone foundations. I thank God that there's a foundation in Jesus Christ that'll last forever. When you get to Christ, you don't have to be drunk. You don't have to be deceived. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be reduced down to like an animal. You don't have to be reduced down that way. You can find that there's a strength that you can stand up. That man did not have strength to stand. But tonight we have strength to stand. Where do you get your strength to stand? Where is your strength coming from? Our strength is from the Lord. Our defense is from the Lord. He puts in our heart and our spirit to speak against and fight against and destroy every single enemy. Flesh and blood is not our enemy. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, God used natural physical enemies in the world to teach Israel of spiritual lessons. We don't have physical enemies that we need to fight to with guns and knives and bombs. We have enemies that more than just the natural, but we have in the spiritual realm enemies that hate God and hate truth. The souls of men are not my enemies. The demon power that is over this city is our enemy. It is an adversary. We'll never be friends to the demon powers over this city. We'll never be friends with the enemy of our soul, the adversary. He is the devil. He is the false accuser. He is bad. He is evil. He is wicked. We're not going to be friends with the devil. We're going to take the devil out by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the word of their testimony, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to take him down. That's the promise. That's his promise. The devil says, no, you won't. I'll destroy you. The devil said, I'll destroy everybody around you. I'll work on the weak. I'll work on them and I'll destroy them. I'll deceive them. I'll take them out. One by one, I'll take them down. That's what the devil says. I'm going to keep them from being together. I'm going to keep them from being strong together. Together, they will destroy the devil. But divided, the devil can destroy them. Why so much division in the world today? That's the work of the devil. So we see together, stand for your life, gather yourselves together so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has a plan, an eternal purpose to make us like himself and put us into position to magnify and glorify the Son of God throughout eternity. And it's not going to be a street sweeper in heaven glorifying God. It's going to be some that understood the nature of Christ and the characteristics of Christ in full measure of learning how to love without fear, love without unbelief, without doubt, without hate and anger, without bitterness, without envy. I don't think it's a coincidence to see a man literally crawling on the ground and then see big sign, envy. And we said to the man, Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I don't believe that. I don't want to believe that. Just so hard. So hard. And he thought he was right. In his mind, he thought it was right. What is it that made his heart so empty, so destroyed? Sin, unbelief. Sometimes it's the simplest things that take people out. Is there a decree the devil has made to try to destroy you? But we're not listening to the work of the devil and the work of the flesh. We're going to listen to the word of God. You have the strength to stand for your life. And you can go and take a spoil. Not only destroy the work of the devil, not only to destroy and slay everyone that assaults you, slay those things. Take those things into captivity. Destroy them. Take a spoil. Let God reward you. Let God bless you. Amen? If all you do is fight, and all you do is try to slay enemies, and you have no reward, and you have no blessing of God, the world won't see your joy. They may see your fight, and they may not be able to fight you, and the fear of you may be on them. But Mordecai's victory is not just because he fought, because where did he fight physically? Mordecai's victory was the joy of the Lord, was an obedient life, a man of faith, a humble man, consistent. He would tell the truth. He would live the truth. He would praise God. He would worship God. He'd serve the Lord. He'd give God praise. And he'd challenge people to do what's right constantly, over and over again. And he didn't care if they hated him. He didn't care what decree they made against him. We're going to stand. We're going to fight. We're going to win. We're going to obey God.
Israel successfully defeated the enemy that attacked them. It wasn't complaining because they were being attacked. It was standing for their life and successfully winning even though they had been attacked. We need a right heart and a right spirit. Write it down. Prepare. You're going to be talked about. They're going to mock you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to try something to take you out. And if they can't take you out, they're going to find the weak ones around you to take them out, to get at you, to work on you, little by little. But God is faithful. God gives us a love. It's God's love in us that rouses within our heart and our spirit the true fear of God. And when the fear of God is in our heart, it's going to manifest and it's going to have its effect on others. I like it when you read there in chapter 9 and verse 3, all the rulers of the provinces, the lieutenants, the fire lieutenant, the police lieutenant, lieutenants of the armies. It says the lieutenants, the deputies, the officers, they all helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai was upon them. God put something in the heart and minds of the men of this city. Amen. Amen. Who's going to be God's Mordecai? Who's going to be the one that is going to serve God only? Only. Like Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Mordecai was about the Lord, about the work of God, about God's power and God's grace working mightily. No giving up, no giving in, no turning back, no falling by the wayside. This is not weak time, this is strong time. Stand for your life. Where are you going to get the strength? He is our strength. He is our defense. If you're weak, He'll wear on you and wear you out. But be not weak in faith. Give glory to God. Give praise to God. Let not your faith be in anyone or anything but the Lord. Don't be wavering. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God that what he promised he was well able to perform. Is God able to perform to perfection in your life? Is God able to perform to perfection in your life? For that to be true, He has to perform in your life. In my prayer, in my praising Him, in my serving Him, in my testifying for Him, in my working for Him, in everything we do it in Him, because of Him, by Him, for Him, of Him, because of Him, to Him, it's because of Him. His love put in our heart, in our spirit, roused within our hearts the fear of God, that we'd fear God and His sovereign power and His sovereign grace, not be afraid of the enemy. There's enemies that are going to attack you. They are going to attack you. And there are things attacking you now that separate you. So it just makes sense that if you're being separated little by things that are happening in a small realm, as the enemy succeeds in attacking you, it's only going to divide you further. See, I knew this was going to happen. See, I know this individual is weak. I may be weak. David said, I am this day weak, but anointed. I know I'm weak. There's a lot of things I'm weak in. One thing I know, He's strong. And I've never proclaimed my strengths and my goodness. In fact, when I lift weights, I did it by myself in a back room somewhere because I knew I was weak. And when I might have been stronger than the other guys that are immediately around me, I knew there was 100 more on the outskirts, a lot stronger than me. And I was not working out to be strong. I did it for fun, but also I knew that if I worked out and worked hard, I could work harder. That was my thinking as a child growing up. But as you grow up, I haven't lifted weights in years. But every time I'm lifting something, I'm lifting a little bit more, a few more repetitions on my way to take it, put it somewhere, just whether it's going up or down or back and forth, what are you doing? I'm working out. We're not just trying to exercise these limbs. We're trying to exercise our faith. Trust God. Believe God. This might be a hard, difficult task, but we're not trying to face just easy tasks. And we know that this task may be hard right now, but there's a harder one right behind it, and then a harder one right behind it. Like one day, I come up or downstairs, and a young man was coming upstairs. He's all out of breath, and it wasn't long, and Johnny and Dad was right at the back door. Some guy come in here and literally beat my brother's head in, kicked him and beat him down on the cement floor, beat him hard. Beat him so bad, Jimmy didn't even know what happened to him. He was 3 days before he realized what happened to him. Actually, he never really did, no. Beat him hard, beat him bad. When they said he beat up Jimmy, I went down, looked at him. I could see Jimmy didn't even know where he was at. I could see he didn't even know what was going on. So I knew he had to have been beat hard for that.
And I wasn't going to just let that boy walk away after he beat his head in that bad. And I wasn't interested in just revenge and just hurting somebody back. I wanted to teach him a lesson. I didn't know what was happening. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was going to at least try to teach that boy a lesson. And I didn't want Dad involved or John involved. And they were going to take him out this way. And I told him, you come out in the woods with me. And we got out behind the buildings and we were headed for the woods. And he turned around and he said, I ain't going out there with you. He said, I'm out of breath. I'm out of strength. I said, you come back in 3 days. I'll teach you a lesson. He has never come back in 10 years. He was bigger than me. His hands were deadly weapons. It was a weapon. Some men are classified as their hands are deadly weapons, and if you use them, it's as bad as if you drew a knife or drew a gun. Okay, I don't use my hands that way, so the first time you might get by with it. But after a while, they'll classify your hands as a deadly weapon, and you use them, and you're going to spend a lot of time somewhere. And I wasn't interested in just locking him up somewhere. He came to us because he beat up 3 men. Two sons and a father beat him up, beat him bad. I felt so bad. And then when he beat up my own brother, it made me feel even worse. And he might have beat me up out in the woods somewhere. I don't know. But that was going to have to be done. That was going to have to be proven. And as I said to you this morning in devotion, the devil, or I guess it was yesterday, the devil might make mincemeat out of me. He might be able to, because he's able in the natural. There's a possibility if I should sin and I should grow weak in my faith, there's a possibility the devil can take down mighty men. But with our strength in God, he's not going to do that. Amen. According to the word of God, he's not going to do that. I believe that there's some promises and provisions that God has made for us. We don't have to give an inch to the devil. And that's why I'm very careful. I'm not afraid of the devil. I don't say that quickly. There's been times I would not say that. I would not say that. But because God's been good to me and God has proved himself, I'm not speaking tonight out of feelings and emotions of me just learning and doing things. God has been good to me. God has showed himself. I have nothing better to believe than that God will protect me. God is my defense. Amen. I cannot proclaim to you that I would never fail God, but I can tell you and proclaim to you that God will never fail me. God has never failed me. God will never fail me. You'll never be able to use against me that God failed me. He doesn't fail. Men fail. God doesn't fail. We watch good men fail, and people say, well, I guess it wasn't true. God's word is true. God's word never fails. People use for an excuse all kinds of accusation, all kinds of assaults of the enemy to try to reason to weaken, reason to divide, reason not to stand together, reason not to fight for the joy of the Lord that is our strength to perfection in these last days. We need the joy of the Lord for his power, for his praise, to work completely, continuously, in abundance. God's not going to get glory from somebody that looks like warded faces. We saw an old ugly frog the other day, a couple of them right after that, a hard-shelled turtle. God give us some ugly things in life for warnings. That's what you're going to look like if you don't pay attention. I don't want to be like that. God give me, you know, one of those birds that looked like it had an ugly body, but a blue, pretty face. Beautiful, beautiful colors. A head was just full of beauty. What happened to the rest of his body? And it was a sign to me, God's going to have a beauty in his bride. There's some, he's not going to make them the tail, he's going to make them the head. The bodies will be ugly. But if the body could learn to work together, amen, if we could just learn to work together, things wouldn't be so hard, things wouldn't be so ugly. Things wouldn't be so difficult. Get together. Let him be the head. Let him be. Let the beauty of holiness work in our heart and our spirit that helps you to follow peace with all men. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Israel had a good day, had a feast, and they had joy and gladness. And that's what the church world needs to have in these last days to help the world know that we're victorious. We're not defeated. We're not going down. We're not going under. We're going over. We're going up. We're going to win. By His grace. By His power. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it begins from verse 10 to verse 18. A decree to defend themselves with the armor of God. Without the armor of God, you're not going to defend yourself. I don't care how many degrees you have underneath your belt. I don't care how much experience you have in the things of life. And just the school of hard knocks. You're going to need divine truth and the armor of God in your heart and in your life to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil has a plan to destroy you. And I'm not going to be afraid of that. I'm not going to back down from that. I'm going to stand for my life. I'm going to be armed with God's armor. That's His promise. Amen? And there are things that you need to pay attention to. Because if all you think is to destroy enemies is all there is about life, and to take a spoil is something you're not knowledgeable about, you may have victories. And you may have great victories. It speaks about 300. It speaks about 75,000. It speaks about many victories just throughout the whole providence. Victory after victory after victory. And then they gathered together, some on the 14th day, others on the 14th and the 15th day. I just want that double portion. I want victory upon victory. I want that double blessing. I want that opportunity to praise God. But that's one thing that Esther went back to the king. Well, the king first came to her and says, what else do you have requests for? She first had a request, make a decree, stop these men. He said, I can't make a decree to stop them, but I can make a decree to give you the right to defend yourself, stand for your life. And then he comes back and he says, do you have another request? Do you have another request? And her request is, give us another day to defeat these enemies. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But if you understand the heart of God, your desire to destroy the enemy should be greater than going to heaven. Not lessen your desire to go to heaven, but strengthen your desire to defeat the enemy. Because if souls die lost, it's forever. If souls die lost, it is forever and ever separated from God. And I'd rather take another day at this and get another soul saved, and the joy of the Lord to be such greater, and a greater star in our crown, to be able to give Him the praise of another soul saved. And it has to truly be your motive. Some people say, I want to live another day, but it's to have a better job, more income, another house, something else, get married, have children. Those things are habits, blessings. We're so blessed. I look at children, I get so blessed. Thank God for every one of them. And everyone more that comes. But remember this, there's something better. There's something greater. We need to understand, God, give us another day to win a soul, to fight the battle of life, to win the loss for Jesus. Amen. Verse 12, this is Esther chapter 9, verse 12. The king said unto Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition? You've slain 500 in one place and you got the 10 sons of Haman. You got the 10 sons of Haman. They're listed. Verse 7, it goes down there, and they list the 10 sons of Haman. Can't even hardly pronounce their names. I tried to find the meanings of their names. And
I believe, like their name, some of them didn't have much meaning, or it wasn't valuable enough to retain the meaning. Some of them might have, I believe they had a meaning to their name, but they lost the meaning. It wasn't retained. I don't want to have a meaningful name and not retain its value and its meaning. 10 sons of Haman. Why 10? 10. And they were hung. She says, he said to her, "What is thy petition? What have you done in the provinces? Now what is thy petition? What more do you want? And it shall be granted thee." What more do you want? It says, "And it shall be granted thee." Or what is thy request? Further, and it shall be done. Do you want any more? How much more do you want? How much are you willing to request? How much are you willing to pray about? Why pray? Why is prayer so important? Here's the king saying, make your petition, make your request. Whatever you petition for, whatever you request, it shall be done. That's quite a blank check. That's quite a promise. Exceeding great and precious promises God has given to us above what we could ask or think. Above and beyond what you could ask or think. Make your request, Esther. Make your request. You've made a request and you fulfilled that. You've accomplished that. Now make a further request. I want more. I want more. I want more. Let's stop settling for less. Let's stop thinking that we're on the wrong end. Let's stop thinking that nobody cares and nobody understands and that we're just a little feeble people that can't get anywhere and get anything done. We might be feeble and a nothing in the eyes of men, and they bring all kinds of accusations to assault us, and they think that we're nothing, but God is going to let the fear of God be upon them and work in our heart. They can greatly fear Mordecai, greatly fear the Jews. God can put that same fear in the hearts of men in these last days. God, give us a reverence in this city, a respect from the men of this city. God wants to do that. Make your request, and it shall be done. It shall be done. I like those words. It shall be done. Words by the king, it shall be done. Thy request, what is thy request further, and it shall be done. What will you request? What are you praying for? Are you willing to mouth it? Well, I got a request, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to speak it out. I'm not going to let anybody know. It might not happen, and I want anybody to think I'm a fool. The king's saying, let your petition be spoken. Let your request be heard. Let it be known, and it shall be done. It shall be done. Say it. Say it again. Say it loud. Let everyone hear it. Don't be afraid to pray. Don't be afraid to give your petition. Don't be afraid to make your request. Let's pray like we never prayed before. Let's make our request. A request to the king that says, it shall be done. Amen. Amen. It shall be done. What do you suppose Esther would request? It says in verse 13, then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree. Can you give us another day? Can you give us one more day? Have we enjoyed to the fullest the outpouring of God's Spirit? Have we enjoyed to the fullest of every promise in this book? Is every promise in this book yours? Have you enjoyed to the fullest every promise? Are you ready to make your petition a little bit bigger and a little bit better? Are you ready to make your request a little bit louder? You know, God puts courage in your heart when 10 men stand against you and say it's not going to happen. Too many enemies, too big, too bad, too difficult. But God puts it in the heart of Joshua and Caleb. You stand unbending. You stand with great courage. You speak the word of God, a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll make you grass
I'll make them grasshoppers in your sight. I'll make them defenseless. I'll make them a people of no defense. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. I'll make you overcome. Joshua and Caleb was ready. Amen. Esther was ready. And she says, can I have another day? You've already destroyed 500. 500 people against you is a lot of people. There's more than that against you. Do you imagine if they quit here? The scripture speaks about 300. And then that may not seem like a whole lot, 500, 300. But look at the rest. It says in verse 16, 70, not 75, but 75,000. Wow. Can you imagine if you let go 75,000 people lying about you, telling tales about you, mocking you, persecuting you, making fun of you, attacking you? Every time you turn around, they're attacking you. Not just 500, not just 300, but 75,000 attackers. 75,000 people that hate you and that want to destroy you and want to stop you and want to put you down. God gave them another day. God, give us another day of fighting, the fight of faith. Give us another day like we have just received. God has been good to us. He has been so good to us. I believe God is good. He's wonderful. And He puts it in our heart to believe Him for another day. Day of victory, another day of fighting the fight of faith. I'm not looking for a day ahead of us to bring us down and to leave us defeated. I'm looking for a great victory. And the more we trust God, the greater the victory will be. Give us another day. Esther says, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree. This day's decree is to stand for your life and destroy the enemy, the little and the women, and take a spoil. Give us another day. This day we've slain through 300, but we haven't done so good. There's more enemies. There's more enemies that left than we've defeated. And we haven't taken a spoil. Verse 10, back up to verse 10, Esther 9 and 10. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamathah, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand that it was theirs. They didn't understand that God gave them that. That was part of the decree. By the king, by the king's own word. And so most men look at it and say they're not selfish, they're not covetous. Now we can't be covetous, but when God says covet the best gifts, there's something about desiring something more that God wants you to have in your spirit. If you're satisfied of where you're at, you need to desire more. And if you don't desire more like you should, he'll come by and he'll say, you've got a request? Do you have a petition? Do you have any desire for more? Esther says, I do. Give me another day like this. You've given me a great victory today. I want another day tomorrow like you've given me this day. And do you know what? It can get better. And better. And every day you can be praying, Lord, this day's better than the last day. Can I have another day like this? Can you give me another day and the next day's better? And the next day's better. And your prayer will always be, Lord, can I have another day like this? God, give us a great desire for more and more and more of Him. Amen. You look at the problems in life and you'll be defeated, but you look to Him and you'll be prepared. And she made the request that she could have another day and that she wanted to see the enemy defeated and destroyed completely. Because she had 10 sons destroyed. What a victory. Thank God for the 500. But sometimes men are so wicked, like the sons of Haman. 10 sons of Haman. If you gave me a choice, 10 sons of Haman or 500, I'll take the 10 sons of Haman. Destroy them. Destroy them. Because they'll do more damage than 5 million people. One sinner like the son of Haman will destroy much good.
Some people are bad and they're hard. Like the man tonight, he don't hurt anybody but himself. He wouldn't hurt you for nothing. But look at the damage that he's doing to himself. Haman not only would hurt himself and the sons of Haman, they would hurt anybody. Fiends, it's mean, mad. What a victory, 510 sons of Haman. She said, I want another day like this. I want 500 more, plus I want to see these 10 sons hung. Why hang up 10 dead bodies? They're already dead. Why should it concern us of the victory that God gives to us today of defeat over lust, defeat over lies, defeat over envy, defeat over malice, defeat over, we defeated pride and malice and anger, defeat those things. Why make that a testimony to the world? Why make that our concern? There's a lot of people, they would rise right up in this position that the sons of Haman had taken, take the same position, lest they see, this is what's going to happen to you if you take that position. We're too easy. We're too easy on sin. And she wanted the dead bodies of Haman hung before the public. If you stand and assault us, you're going to be hung. And that would stop people from being so vicious. And that would stop war. You wouldn't have to fight so hard. The enemy stop assaulting. You can come together. But if you're going to stand against us, you're going to assault the truth, you're going to fight against God's will and God's way, I'm going to hang you up. That was a testimony. The church has lost its desire for more. The church has lost its desire to stand against the enemy and to make a point of how wicked and evil the enemy was. They tolerate things instead of destroy it. God in his grace and his mercy puts it into our heart. God, give us another day for more of you. Destroy the enemy. Make a point that the enemy is destroyed. The work of the devil is destroyed. In verse 14, the king commanded it so to be done. Give him another day. Give him another day. Hang those 10 sons. God, give us wisdom. I don't want a natural ability to look back and see what's been accomplished and we take any glory of anything. I want to take a stand and have that understanding within us, girded by the strength of God, that which has been accomplished has been accomplished. And we're not going to have to fight these same battles again and again and again. And we don't have to fight like battles if we stand now. If you don't take your stand now, you're going to have to fight like battles of destroying 10 sons that are more wicked than Haman. And it's going to wax worse and worse. How do you get that? Jesus said evil men in the last days will wax worse and worse. And evil men have sons. And the sons of evil men do wickedly. And many times and many generations they are not slain. And you have times like the World War II break out. And I believe that World War III is going to break out eventually, but it's not going to happen as long as we live and breathe. Every fiber of our being should be, praise our God, give us another day like this day that you would show mercy and grace and power to us to win the loss and make a point that sin is an abomination in the sight of God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life needs to be hung up before the world as a demonstration that this is not the way to go. Walk ye in the ways of God. Walk ye in the ways of truth. Go the way of grace and truth. Stand for your life. Let the Holy Ghost use us. Let the Holy Ghost use us to hinder sin and hinder the work of the devil. As long as we're here, we can hinder enemies, hinder iniquity. As long as we're here to hinder iniquity, iniquity will be held back and God will be glorified. But there comes a time when he's going to say, come up hither. Move a little closer. Amen.
you that have stood for truth and stood for righteousness and holiness, you have fled lust. You have fled those things that are unrighteous and wicked and evil, and you followed after righteousness, peace, and joy, and those things that have to do with faith. You have followed hard after me, and he that follows the Lord will fully know the Lord, know his good blessings. And thank God for all the things that Esther requested and the victories that God gave, so that there was a day of reward, a day of feasting, a day, a great day, a good day. It's expressed in chapter 8 and verse 16, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And then verse 17, in every province, in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. Why are you so happy? Why do you have so much joy? God's given us a good day. And my request is, Lord, give me another day like this day. I want every day a good day. I want every day victory. Every day a feasting and joy of the blessings of God. Every day praising his goodness, praising his grace, praising his power. Our God is almighty. Our God is able. Our God is the one that is called the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the eternal one, the everlasting one, the almighty, the strong one. He is our defense. Amen. And he's saying, go face this day, and you stand for your life, and you fight and you win. He's able. He's able. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, we have where we must be armed with his armor, the armor of God. He's faithful to arm us, prepare us. We not only need to have armor, but we need to have that everlasting hope. We need that hope. Some have armor, and their armor is to protect them from the enemy of making them feel bad. But they have no understanding of the deep revelations of who Christ is and what his plan and purpose is for us in these last days. Most people have an idea that is only going to carry them into heaven. I'm going to heaven. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Where are you going? I'm going to heaven. They don't even have a clue what God has for them right now. Some don't think about heaven. They think of a kingdom in this world. But it's a perversion of the truth. It's not the truth. It's a perversion. So if the devil can't get you to just think about heaven and going there someday and getting you wanting to go there and wanting to go there and wanting to go there, you know, if he keeps you wanting to go to heaven more than you want to win a soul, you're going to find that he'll blind you of what God's purpose is for your life here. And your life will pass you. But if you find out God's purpose and you'll be armed with the arm of God, you'll not be taken by the poisonous darts of the enemy. You'll find out God's purpose of why you're here, and you won't waste your time. And your hope will be established. There is a blessed hope that goes beyond every hope. And that's to where we can rise to the highest levels, the highest level of love and faith and peace and joy and the strength and characteristics of Christ in fullness to perfection in this present world, now at this time. God, give us another day. I enjoy this day and the strength and peace that God has given, but I know that this life can't end where it's at right now. There's still enemies. There's still promises. There's still provisions. There's souls that if we don't win, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And there's promises that we don't take hold of, we're going to miss the opportunity forever. You may make it to heaven, but you will not have the fullness of his promise if we don't believe it, and we don't know it, and we don't apply it. So make preparation. Begin to prepare. Let the hope of God's word, God's will, that eternal hope, that blessed hope, be in your heart. Have the hope prepared within you so that when somebody asks you why you hope in God, you're ready. Like Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How established are you in meekness and fear so that you could have a hope, a reason of the hope, ready, a ready answer for anyone and everyone that comes to you and asks you about your hope? Is it established? Are you established in it? Has it established you in Christ? Do we hate our enemies? Do we hate them or do we love them? Must we hate them? Jesus said, love your enemies. Love them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We justify our hate, our anger, our bitterness, our malice, our pride, our envy, our jealousies, because so-and-so hates us, so-and-so abuses us, so-and-so despitefully uses us, persecutes us. When the Lord's allowing you to be tested with the privilege to love your enemy. I thought it was a hard day. I thought it was a hard life. I thought it was just a hard time. No, it's a privilege. God's going to put his love in you that can love those that hate you. That's a love beyond what I know. I have a hard time loving people who hate me. I have a hard time loving people that lie about me, despitefully use me, persecute me. So that humbles me. Jesus, I make my petition, my request. I want to love them like you love them. I need to pray again. I need to pray again. There's things in my life I need to pray again. Not just to help somebody else go further. I want to go further. And the king said, if you make your requests, it shall be done. It shall be done. Let's stand tonight. I want God's way to be my way. I want God's love in my heart. I want to love like he loves. I want the Prince of Peace. Give me that fullness of peace. I want his peace to be in my heart. I want to follow after that, seek after that. Yeah. I want to serve him with that. Why are you so peaceful? It's stormy out. People hate you. People despitefully use you. Why do you love them so? Why do you pray for them so much? Why are you so good to them? It's his love in you. God, give me that day, another day like this, so I can love them like you love them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Marsha, would you pray? Let's pray together.